in her article titled "The Historic Grab in Space," Marcia Dunn wrote in the San Francisco Chronicle on May 14, 1992, she wrote these words: "Three space-walking astronauts reached up with their gloved hands yesterday and caught a 4.5-ton, slowly spinning satellite in a risky last-ditch attempt to save the craft. Houston, I think we got a satellite," said the shuttle commander Daniel Bradenstein inside the shuttle Endeavour. After three astronauts standing in a circle outside the craft put their hands on the bottom of the satellite and held it steady, the Endeavour had just passed to the southwest of Hawaii, 225 miles high and traveling at a speed of 17,500 miles per hour. The three astronauts who had surrounded the satellite like the legs of a tripod, all three of them standing there holding it. The operation required extraordinary delicacy. Any jarring motion could have caused the fuel inside the satellite to start it rocking. And at the time, the shuttle was in a tail towards the Earth position. And the planet, the blue globe of Earth, was slowly turning behind them as the astronauts captured the satellite. The ability to launch into space and to catch by hand a satellite weighing much more than an elephant should amaze us all. But when we stop and pause and think about that amazing story, it is insignificant compared to the power and the ability of God. Because after all, it was in the power of His spoken word that Earth was formed and space was there, and that man has the ability to even inhabit what we would call outer space. Because it is God who spoke the very words and the words of His power and created all things. And all things are held together by His power. So as amazing as that story is and how it should cause us to pause to think about three people grabbing something that weighs more than an elephant, is nothing compared to the God who upholds all of that by the word of His power. And that's what I want us to see tonight as we come to this passage, as we take another look at God's attributes, and mainly tonight, His omnipotence, meaning that God is all-powerful. Scripture is full of this truth and teaches us this truth. God does whatever He is pleased to do. Nothing is too hard for God. His word has power, and it always fulfills His purposes. God has power and control even over the sinful actions of man. He ordains sinful actions for His good purposes, and yet in His great power, He is not the author of sin or evil. Now, we must understand as we talk about God being all-powerful that there are some things that God cannot do. Like, He cannot lie. He cannot do anything that is immoral or evil. And God never does anything that is logically contradictory, like putting a square into a circle. He is not logically contradictory in His actions. We will see today as we come to this next section of 139 that God is in complete control by His power over everything, period. But here's the key for us. Sometimes we can give a head nod and a hearty belief that, yes, God is in control. He's in control of all the big events of history. But when our daily lives, the mundane, the ordinary Mondays and Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays, God is even in control. His works of His power reach us individually all the way down to the smallest detail of our lives. As we look at this, though, I wanted to read the whole psalm because God's omnipotence will be woven throughout with His omniscience, that He is all-knowing while He is all-powerful. We never chop up again his attributes and cordon them off. They all are interwoven together and always are displayed in what God is doing. We will see that he is all present in his work as he does this powerful work before us in Psalm 139, as we have seen in these previous verses. Let us begin here and we look at verses 13 through 16. I want you to see God's personal power. And this is directed towards us because, as we see in verse 13, God's personal power, because each of us are uniquely stitched. We are uniquely stitched together. Look at verse 13. He says, "For you formed my inward part," which is translated literally in the Hebrew, kidney. "You formed my kidney." Now, this is thought to be the seat of emotion and affection in the Hebrew language and in the writings of the Hebrews. It seems to be showing that the most hidden and vital part of a man, all of his organs and his personality that are hidden deep within each of us, God has formed. He says, "You knitted me together in my mother's womb." Again, this is a picture of a seamstress creating a garment, one thread at a time. God is not just a bystander in the conception process. He is at work intimately and powerfully, working in making each of us like a master craft, like a master seamstress, taking great pains to create his masterpiece, one stitch at a time, one thread at a time, to create his image bearers. This is how God thinks of you. Time and utmost care was taken by God when he made you. You are one of a kind. Even down to the very smallest details of our lives, we are handcrafted by the Creator. Hey, you don't have to flip over the bottom of your foot and say, "Made in China, made in America." All you have to do is grab a mirror and look at it, and it's going to tell you loudly and proudly, "Made in the image of God." Handcrafted by the Creator with his loving touch that is unique to you and you alone. This is the God whom is all powerful. He adds his personal power because we have been uniquely stitched together by God. To think about this as an image bearer that has been stamped, God uses, though, his means of conception and pregnancy to bring about life. But God is powerfully at work and present, watching over the lives of each and every baby, even us who are beyond the baby stage. But you were once a baby, and you got here the same way we all get here. And God is watching over us. He is presently and powerfully active in the lives all the way back into our mother's wombs. So our most hidden parts of our body, as the Scripture tells us here, and that the most hidden place, which is in the womb, is under God's powerful watching eye. David personalizes that even at the smallest beginning stages, he has a real living person in his mother's womb. David personalized this. "For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb." That is personal. That this is a real person in the mother's womb. And we could all say that. And we could substitute that "you" and "my," take out David and put yourself there. And this is as true a statement as when David left it for us in the Psalms. So I think it's important right at the very front of this, we can put something to rest. When there's a conception in a mother's womb, it's a baby. And it's been placed there by God under his powerful watching eye. You can call it anything, but it's a baby. And at that very truth, verse 14, David says, "I will praise you." Praise flows from the lips of David as he considers the depth of God's knowledge, and as he considers the overwhelming truth of God's presence, and we see the mighty power of God before us. He recognizes God's hand and states, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made." What has taken David up to this point and caused him to praise God? The human body. The human body is simply amazing, is it not? David is astonished and he is moved to reverential fear. He is in awe of God. He has a godly fear as he is distinguished from all other people. He is uniquely made. You are distinguished from all other people. You are uniquely made. And David is brought to praise because it was just that the thoughts of all that is hidden just under the skin, the kidney, the heart, the lungs, everything that's hidden just under the skin has been perfectly placed and stitched together, and it calls David to praise. Now, if we're honest, we probably all have some things about ourselves, both physically and dealing with our personality and skills that we wish we could change. Maybe it's our height, maybe it's our weight, maybe it's our hair or hair color. There's things about us. I still remember a few Christmases back, someone asked me what I would like for Christmas. And so I said, you know what, I would really like Tom Brady's hair. And I would like a British or a Scottish accent. And I would like one ab, not a whole six pack. I didn't want to be greedy. I just wanted one ab because I'd be so proud. I'd probably never wear a shirt just for one. I just needed one. And now, but all in seriousness, is we joke about this, but every diet that we follow, every hair color that we change, or every body part that we seek to tone, because at some point we want it to be just a little bit different. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking care of yourself and wanting to look and present yourself and take care of the temple that God's given you. But not at the expense where we forget that you have been uniquely made. And we often wish, though, that we were funnier or smarter or had some skills to build or some skills to do some things that other people could do. But we need to be reminded that we were stitched together by God. And He's not made a mistake with you. I'll say it once and I'll say it twice and I'll say it again because God in His Word reminds us you are unique and you are one of a kind. So much of what our children face today and the youth and it's poor images and body images, and we're bombarded with images on the television and advertisements to look a certain way to be a woman or to look a certain way as a man. But God has made us how He has made us. And you're created in the image of God. And so while we can all seek to improve upon ourselves, it should never be at the expense, though, of being saddened and disappointed in how God has made you. Because He has made you uniquely in His image. And David goes on in his time of praise. He says, "Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well." And this is another statement of praise by David as he considers that the works that have preceded not only this, but the entire chapter, they are wonderful, Lord. They are wonderful. I can go nowhere. There is nothing that you don't know in the way in your powerful work that you have created me. The creative work of forming and knitting and making each person fills the soul with the greatness of God's power. Do you ever stop and think about that? As we look at this world and how unique each and every one of us are. Again, we are made aware of this beautiful truth of God's knowledge and presence in verse 15 and how all God's attributes work together. He said, "My frame was not hidden from you." This fashioning, this forming of David it's not done apart from the watchful, careful eye of God. And then he uses this parallel, "When I was being made in secret and intricately woven in the depths of the earth." He's using the picture of secret and the depths, meaning the darkness of the womb. So secret places, the depths of the earth, the womb in which is hidden. Though to the human eye, we can't see all that is taking place in the womb, God does because He's active in the work. I mean, I can still remember the first time seeing a baby before us at an ultrasound. And my goodness, the technology has improved so much now. And how amazing it is to hear and to see that little heart beating. And that's through two-dimensional or three-dimensional. And even then you can see, but it's not a clear picture. But for God, it is as clear as day. It is crystal clear, as we might say. Though to us, all that's taking place, we don't know. But God is active and He knows perfectly. And all-powerful God says, makes and intricately weaves each individual. And I think now as we would take a pause here and pan the camera back to the implications of this on a wide view, and then we'll zoom it back in to a personal view. But it's a sad day in our country that abortion clinics in the middle of a pandemic, in the middle of COVID-19, are considered essential business. In 2020 alone, up until last month, the stats that I've gotten, there's been 918,730 abortions. That's not even counting the month of May. That is nearly a million abortions just since January of 2020. That's way more than any COVID-19 deaths. You see, the world has tried to deaden the conscience of man that there has been a push to call a baby anything but a baby. Anything but a baby. The wickedness of man thinks that God is going to bless a land that turns a blind eye to the slaughter of babies. But if you just don't call the baby, I can numb my conscience. I can pretend it's really not a baby. I don't know how you can come before God's Word. You can be mad at what I'm saying. You might not like what I'm saying. Well, take it up with God. I'm behind Him. I'm behind Him because it says, you have been formed in your mother's womb intricately. You have been formed in My image. And we see a country that will politicize and market that this is normal. It's a sad day in America that this is true. May we pray that God would raise up His church and men and women to stand boldly for life. But I want you now to zero it in, because it's easy to just kind of stand on the sidelines and to point out what's mean and what's wrong and stay there. But let's zoom on in. God has placed a high premium on every life. He's uniquely designed and gifted you for His glory. Are you just happy to ride into the sunset? You happy to just be whatever and not be used how God wants you? You've been made for Him. May you never say out there, those who may be struggling with body images or self-worth, may you never say you're worthless and insignificant to God, because His Word and His truth tell us otherwise. May you come to this Word and say, God, I might not like the fact that I have a birth defect, that I have a disease, that I am made this way, that I have a body that looks like this, or hair, or some deformities. But God, how can I be used for Your glory? Because You've made me this way. Your Word tells me that I am fearfully and wonderfully made. I pray that we'd have a greater view of how God views us, and we might have a greater patience and love for our neighbor and our brothers and sisters when we grasp the reality of how God loves us and made us and bears with us, even as we fall short. But see here, we learn from His Word that we're not only uniquely stitched, that we are uniquely stationed though. Look at verse 16. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. Even before I was conceived, God saw, David's saying. Even before you were conceived, God saw. Even at the moment of conception, when the baby is in what we would call an embryonic state, God saw you and is fully acquainted with you. The depth of knowledge and power over our lives is amazing, as David says this statement. in your book were written, every one of them, the days that were formed for me, when as yet there was none of them, before you were even conceived, even when there were no days yet, God wrote in His book every day of David's life, my life, and your life. The God who creates things by the word of His power has the power over every second, every minute, and every detail of our lives. And God is very purposeful and intentional. I want you to get this. God is very purposeful and intentional in our lives. There is nothing wasted or accidental with God. Again, take it from the Word. Scripture tells us in Luke 12, verses 6 and 7, are not five sparrows sold for two pennies? They're worthless, folks. That's what He's saying. And He says, and not yet, not one of them falls, or not one of them is forgotten before God. And then He goes on to say, why, even the hairs of your head are numbered. Fear not. You are more valuable than sparrows. I was out for a jog the other day because I'm trying to get my body in better shape. You know, because again, we want to be used for God's glory and rightly. And along the road is a dead sparrow, a dead bird. It was insignificant. I stepped over and went on, and yet God knew when that bird fell. And if what God is saying is, if I know the hairs that fall off your head and a worthless bird that hits the ground, are you not more valuable? Are not the days that I have given you more important? And the answer is yes, because we are the only creation that is made in the image of God. That is why it is heartbreaking to see someone take a life, to murder a child, because we are the only image bearers of God. But Psalm 118, verse 24 tells us, this is the day. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. That the Lord has made. That's a VBS song I learned when I was a kid. How'd that tune come to me? That's not my sermon notes. All I'm saying is it's true. Let us rejoice. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We've been given this minute, this hour, this day, this moment in history. And this is the God who says, this day was made, and it's the Lord's day, so let us rejoice. Let us rejoice. And then Psalm 90, verse 12 says, so teach us to number our days, that we may get a heart of wisdom. I need that. You need that. Our church needs that. All the churches of the world need this. Give us a heart of wisdom, Lord, as we number our days. You don't think God is powerless in the midst of all this COVID-19 stuff, do you? No, He's not. It's a reminder that every day God gives us is precious. Every day God gives us is according to His intimate and personal plan. As we have seen by the statement of God that He has formed the days for you. Substitute that. He has formed all the days for you. Each of us, though, will have a different amount of days and a different amount of blessings. And they're personal. And I'm not going to sit here and say that all of it makes sense. And that all of it is easy to understand. When you see suffering and you see the lives of young people cut short and young children who are battling heart disease and cancer. And they say, I'm not saying that's easy. What I'm saying is that God has formed them for His purpose and that is not beyond His power. And we must stay rooted to the Word to be reminded of that because we are prone to want to walk in our own strength. But each of us are given a different amount of days and time. And I want you to not only remember this, that when God brought you forth in your mother's womb and He stitched you and knitted you, He has the power over birth. He is the same God that has power over your rebirth. That God not only gets the glory when you were conceived and come into the world, He gives you the rebirth, the work of the Spirit, that God draws you to Him. He makes you alive in Christ, that Christ died for all that the Father would give Him, and the Spirit will apply and we will be born again. So God gets the glory there. And then when you die and your body lays in the grave, but you are taken to heaven, you will be born again here and live eternally there. As we wait that resurrected body, that when God brings it up out of the grave again, because He is the one that has the power over life and death. This is the God in whom we come to. What a blessing we can have, that we are hopeful and secure relationship with the Lord. That we are under His powerful and sustaining hand. So we're right where God has you. This is a hard one for me. I'm going to be honest sometimes. God has you right where He stationed you. You are right according to His powerful presence and knowledge. He where He has placed you is right where He wants you. We've seen the foolishness of thinking that you can outrun God, Jonah. That's foolishness. God only has the presence and the knowledge. He got the power to put you where He wants. He'll get you to Nineveh if He wants you in Nineveh. And God has the power in our lives too, to do all according to it. But lastly, we see here in these last two verses that God's praiseworthy power. We've seen His personal power. And now again, David finishes with His praiseworthy power. How precious to me are Your thoughts, O God. David, again, has had to take a pause and simply give praise to God. As David contemplates how God knows him and is with him and is powerfully at work in his life, David says, it's precious. It's precious. Here's the thing. David isn't scared or embarrassed at the intimate manner in which God knows him. He's comforted. I will say that if you don't know the Lord, then this type of intimacy is scary to you. But He already knows you, and He is all present and all knowing, and He is all powerful. To think that you can blindly leave the things of the Lord behind and to turn a deaf ear. But it's scary to think the depth of the knowledge He has for you, because you've been created in His image to worship Him. You need to come to Him. But David is not scared or embarrassed, because for the believer, this is a treasure. It's to be prized, the thoughts of God's towards us. Oh, you remember when you were first in love and you had someone and how you treasured those little notes and those thoughts and you knew generation, those text messages and those Snapchats and TikToks and everything else that they do to show their love today, Facebook and then everything else. Hey, listen, it's the same story, just packaged in a different way. The bottom line is, though, you want to hear that you're loved by someone. Tell me again how much I mean to you. Well, that's what David is enraptured with here. It has been precious to him where God tells him His thoughts towards him. He prizes those. The love that God has for us. It should stagger you when you think of how sinful you are. And how you do not love God apart from His working on your heart. It should stagger you that He has chosen to design you and to know you. Even when He knows you, He wants to know you. That's amazing, the care that He shows to us. God's thoughts and focus to you individually. So here's the thing, folks, as a Christian, I know it can be dark and I know it can be depressing at times and it can be discouraging. But God always gives you His undivided attention. You always have God's undivided attention. Before the foundation of the world, you had His attention. Every second since the moment you were conceived and to all eternity, God has thoughts towards you in Christ that are nothing but pure, lovely, and precious to us as believers because of how unworthy we are. Quite frankly, it is so overwhelming that David says, how vast is the sum of them? This is addition. This is mathematics. This is multiplication numbers. How vast is the sum of them? He's saying, look, it doesn't add up. That's what David's telling us. It is beyond counting. It is beyond our understanding. And David says, listen, if I was to count them, they would be more than the sand. David said, God, Your thoughts towards me, the greatness of who You are, and yet You have come to me, is greater than all the grains of sand. Now, I don't know about you, but for fun, I have never sought out to count each individual piece and grain of sand. Have you ever tried to count it? It's impossible. But if you've ever gone to the beach or a place where there's sand, you realize that sand is everywhere and it's in everything. Even if you are obsessive about cleaning and running the sweeper and showering off outside and getting it off your clothes and to make sure you don't get it in your car, but you can't be around sand where sand isn't everywhere. But I want you to think about it. The reason you know sand there is because every little tiny piece of that sand begins to add up. And even when you think it's all gone, there's always just that little bit when you walk through in a barefoot that sticks to your foot again. Or you find it in those shoes or those swim trunks or that swim outfit that you're in. There's just that little bit that there that reminds you. So what David's saying is if you could count every grain of sand from every beach in the world and you got an accurate number, which you can't do, he said, but if you did, God's thoughts are still more than that. He said, there's still more than that. God's thoughts towards us, folks, is innumerable. It's beyond the counting ability of mere man. And then David says, I awake and I'm still with you. It's almost as if David said, look, I fell asleep counting and meditating upon your thoughts towards me, God. And yet, when I woke up, there you are again. The powerfully present and all-knowing God is right there. Waking or sleeping, thy presence, my light. We sang that last week, and it is true again this week. God has made us to have a relationship with Him. And it's very personable and unique and intimate. But here's the key thing, and this is what I want you to take out of all this tonight. God has made you and made you who you are that you would draw near to Him. Brothers and sisters, draw near to God. God doesn't want anything else. Do you understand that? He wants you. Yes, we worship Him, but He doesn't want heartless worship. He wants you. Draw near to God. He wants the overflow of your lives in worship and service to be in a relationship that you have with Him. He wants you. And why does He want you? And I'll end with this. Because He loves you. Let's pray.